Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. As much as I would have loved to finish, have you finish that, because that's fucking hilarious. I don't want somebody to think this is an actual, like, Mormon podcast.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Charlotte.
I'm Mandy.
Our friend, our sister Mandy over there is reading hymns from the Book of Mormon, wait, the it's Church of Latter-day Saints Bible book. No, it says that on the spine.
It says Bible book? Oh, Hymns of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
There you go.
It's a hymn book.
It's a hymn book.
I feel sort of dirty touching it because it's been a long time.
When I saw it at the garage sale, like, my first thought was, and I don't know why, but I was like, they stole that from the church. Like, I give a shit. But then Terry, our stepmom, was with us, and she's like, oh, no, it doesn't have a ward in there, so they must have just bought it. I'm like, gross. It's even worse. I would prefer it was stolen from the church.
Yeah, exactly.
But alas.
So anyway, if this is your first time listening to our podcast, you're probably wondering what the fuck is going on.
We are a couple sisters who were raised Mormon, failed to keep being Mormon, like to get really drunk and make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm, a lot of bad decisions.
And then we like to tell you about it while we drink on a podcast. You're welcome.
It was a little project we started during quarantine and now has blossomed into our full-time side project.
You're my side piece, if you will.
And we love you, Internet. We love you so much.
We love all of our listeners, but we especially love our patrons.
Hell yeah, patrons.
Thanks for being you guys. And we have a special welcome.
Oh, yes, we have a new patron, Mikkel.
Mikkel, so thankful you're listening to us. We're so blessed that you're listening to us.
Welcome to the inner circle that you were kind of already a part of, because I have a feeling we share some DNA.
But it's nice to know that not all of our cousins hate us.
It is. We know who the cool cousins are.
We really do. It's a fact. Well, cheers.
Cheers. We started on a great bottle of wine.
And finished with not a great bottle.
Now we're on a box.
Now we're on the black box, which is, if you're going to get a box of wine, the black box is the nicest. I have to say, our little brother Colin, who doesn't drink in front of our family members.
Also, happy birthday yesterday, too.
Oh, happy birthday yesterday. He's like, so are you going to buy some more of that black box wine? I'm like, oh, that's right. I've taught you well. Your mom probably hates me. That's okay. That's all right.
Let's talk about the wine we started with, because I love it so much.
A Paloma?
I
felt like... No, that's a drink.
Palermo.
Palermo.
Yeah, it's the Orin Swift Palermo blend. And it's got this coolest label. I'll try to find a picture of it and post it on the social medias. But it's got this really cool sort of like skeleton skull catacombs Napoleon vibe.
What's the matador?
Yeah, there you go. Right. Maybe Napoleon wasn't the right word.
There was like some feathers. Skeleton matador.
There was a hat. I've been drinking. Anyways, welcome, Mikkel. And I'd like to repent.
Yeah?
Well, I was trying to think of something to repent for, and the only thing I could think of is I want to repent for my sister Tiffany and her awful, horrible taste in movies, because I still can't get over the fact that she didn't like Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Right? She's wrong. That movie's great.
I'm repenting for her, because I don't make mistakes.
She will have something to say about that, I'm sure. I'm sure.
How dare you.
How dare you. Repent for being a really good person. I repent for being overly nice and letting people walk on me, and it will never happen again. More on that later.
I hear tell there's some stories to be telling.
I made a point to not tell Mandy. I flew in yesterday from a conference in Monterey, California, where I had the most interesting weekend. I wouldn't say most interesting weekend of my life. The most interesting roommate I've ever had in my entire life. But I refused to tell her anything about it because I wanted an authentic reaction from her.
Can't wait.
So we've got to look forward to that after the commercial break.
Yeah. Let's also not forget to mention our unofficial sponsor of my heart, Liquid Death.
Mm, thanks, Liquid Death. It's always delicious.
I started thinking about this because I was like, oh, we had a bottle of wine. We need to drink some water so our voices don't get all thick and syrupy
right
on the podcast.
Thanks, Liquid Death. You're delicious.
And it started reminding me about when we first did this and everything had to be so meticulous. Like, we had to have a water. Everything had to be silent. Right. You know, the air conditioner had to be off. I mean, we still do those things now, but like
it's hot in here. Don't fucking talk about air conditioning.
Yeah. To the excess that we, you know, when we were first starting this out, it was like a very different show than it is now.
True. I don't know whether I should repent for that or, you know, say you're welcome.
Celebrate it.
Right. There you go.
But, you know, a tip, a tint for podcasters everywhere. A tip hint. Have some water with you.
Yeah, it's smart. Yeah. Actually, as I was at this conference, I went to this person who put the conference on, her very first one in 2020. And she was telling the story about, like, she had this, like, Kardashian, like, security team around her at all times. Which I also thought was hilarious. Like, Brit, no one's coming after you. You're fine. But it's true. People do fucking love her. So, you know what? Maybe she had every right to be like, bitch, get away. Yeah. Anyway, so this person who's supposed to be her, like, right-hand man, like, security, but also if she needs something, he is right there, eyes on her whole time. Mm-hmm. And she was saying how, like, so she gets up there and she's so excited to welcome everybody to this huge event that she's put on, and she just gets cotton mouth real thick. And she looks over and be like, hey, my man, like, I need some water. And he's looking at his phone, he's looking at the audience, looking everywhere but her. She finally had to be like, hey, Miguel or whatever his name is, can I get some water? And I vaguely remember that. And then, so he brings her out a bottle of water. And when you're nervous up there, you know, she spilt water all over her. Shit. So she's like, oh, so Miguel was not invited back for day two. But it was just funny because she was talking about, she's like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's your first time or your 70th time. You need water when you're speaking to a large audience. And, you know, this is microphones, but you know, like we're talking, so yeah,
you need water.
But it was made me think of that, and I was just like, and every night I saw her, she did not have something she could drink. It was a straw. She was drinking out of a straw that whole weekend.
Yeah, that's our, we'll put a new segment in the podcast called Tips for People Who Want to Start Their Own Podcast. Because I don't know if you get this, but I get this all the time. People, but you know, like referring friends of friends to me on social media saying like, hey, my friend wants to start a podcast since you're the expert. I'm right. Like, I'm an expert at something? Okay.
I've had a few people do that, but since I gave them no good advice, they stopped asking me. This turns out you're good at podcasting. I'm good at being a permanent guest on your podcast.
You're the talent.
I like to just show up.
I just like to be drunk and talk.
Listen, I've got stories to tell.
let's talk about Mormon Corner.
Okay, wait. I hope you have something.
Well, the only thing that I have is, obviously, if you've been listening to past few episodes, we made a trek back to the land of Zion.
Right.
As the pioneers did before us. And we came back with a boatload of treasures.
You're welcome.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but every single available, like, air pocket in my car was crammed.
You may have mentioned that on last week's episode. With
some sort of a figurine.
You're welcome.
Or we have a lamp that's made of a doll in a dress with
it's
a
awesome
lampshade that matches her dress. I don't know. There's going to be some things happening, but after we're done recording this podcast tonight, we're going to put a pin in it, and we are going to make some crafts, some arts and crafts.
Right. We've got a long weekend in front of us.
So by the time this airs, you'll be able to see what I can only envision in my head right now.
As I was getting the microphones ready for the podcast, I did grab all of the figurines and put them out.
We're looking at them.
I also put a picture of Joseph Smith up. I had to put it up high because I wanted to see it over the laptop. So you're welcome.
I didn't see it.
Joseph Smith is looking over us.
I feel really gross right now.
You should. He's higher than my snake face from a couple episodes back from when we went to Vegas and I got the best sculpture of my face made.
That fucking creeps me out, I'll tell you what.
It was 25 cents. What was I supposed to say? No. I found a crevice in your car. I jammed it in there.
we had so much fun in Utah that we're going to try to go back next month.
Yeah. And plus also, don't go to Utah in June. It's cold. Sorry, Colin. Your birthday sucks.
I had a
what episode is this?
It's 106.
Nice.
106 times we've put these headphones on.
Do you know that there are people who have listened to all 106 of these episodes?
Shout out to you, bitches.
Yeah, thanks for being red.
Mm-hmm. We see you. We know who you are.
We like you a lot.
Siobhan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
girl. Kathy.
Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to sing that Beck song, Deborah, but then I can't remember how it goes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I want to get with you and your sister is all I remember, which is creepy.
Because name was Deb.
Because this is a sister podcast, so I'm out.
We should move on before it gets too weird.
A little weirder. Moving on to cool shit. I'm going to go ahead and do a shout out to Colin, our brother. Way to turn 30, old man. Mm-hmm. But not as old as our good friend that doesn't know we exist, Mel Brooks. Happy birthday, 96 years old. That guy's fucking rad.
96?
96. Dang. I hope he lives forever. I fucking love Mel Brooks.
Yeah, Mel Brooks is the creative presence genius behind...
Yeah, he's writer, director of like Blazing Saddles, High Anxiety, Young Frankenstein.
He's a gem.
He's a fucking gem. Mm-hmm. Any movie that's awesome, you pretty much... I mean, comedic-wise, especially. Very, very funny, man.
Mm-hmm. You know what I have for cool shit?
Hmm.
I know everybody's probably already knows about this, but I put Stranger Things down only because... So today is the launch of the second half of the season or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, we loved the first season of Stranger Things, as should the whole world. It was fucking amazing.
So amazing.
Season two was good, too.
It was all right. It was better. It was better than the third season.
Season three was kind of a letdown, but we watched it anyway.
Of course.
And then season four came out, and I watched... You watched more than I did, but I watched maybe, like, 2.5 episodes, and I was like, I can't. This
right.
is... I'm not doing this. I have other things I'd rather be spending my time on. And then a couple of people, like... The people that I respect their opinions
Me?
On social media. Not you. Some other people.
How dare you?
I know. But she was like... Melissa was like, if you punked out on... You know, before finishing season four or the mid-season finale or whatever, she's like, you really missed out. You should watch it.
See, and I thought the first couple episodes sucked. I thought it got a lot better. And then the big reveal for the mid-season finale, I was like, fucking called that shit. Grow up.
Well, I disagree. I didn't... yeah, you kind of called it. I mean...
I always do.
I meant not you. I meant like you as the viewer, the the royal.
No, I'm specifically amazing.
Okay, let me. This is my turn to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wanted to say I didn't watch it. I thought it was stupid. I'm really glad I got back into it because I very much enjoyed the last two episodes of the first pre-season finale or whatever. Anyways, now the rest of season four is going to start today, and I'm excited to watch it. And I want to thank Melissa for. Basically telling me that I'm stupid for having stopped watching it.
Well, she's right. Melissa's right. You were stupid.
Let's listen. Look.
Also, for those who don't know, we have a drinking game. Every time we say a percentage, every time we say listen.
And every time Charlotte's a cunt.
You have to take a drink. Every single time.
And that's how we get so drunk. Oh, get out the fire extinguisher. That was a burn.
You're a fucking bitch.
You know what else I watched on Netflix?
Huh?
The Secret Lives of Pets. It sounds stupid.
It does sound stupid.
It sounds really stupid. But I don't know if it's just because I've been kind of like putting it out into the universe or putting the feelers out. But I've, like, talked to so many people on social media that I don't even know. They're like, I just watched a show about a dog, and now I want a dog. I was like, was it The Secret Life of Pets? How did you know? It's so great. I put it on just, like, background I was sewing or whatever. And the next thing I know, the sun is down, and the series has ended. And I was like, there's no more? It was really good.
All right. I mean, you did have some interesting tidbits of information that I found fascinating about... Was it the dog's nose?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of... So everybody knows, like, dogs have a really amazing sense of smell. They have a heat sensor, like an infrared heat sensor in their nose. That's how they find their moms when they're trying to, you know, nurse when they're babies. So they can find heat and cool with their noses, too.
Okay.
And everybody knows, like, the dog whistle is, you know, supposed to be the highest pitched, whatever.
Humans can't hear it.
Yeah. Cats can hear 2 octaves higher than a dog whistle. So every time you're blowing that dog whistle... The cats are also Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Interesting.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's a very feel-good, if you want to stop thinking about all the Trump bullshit and the QAnoners and the fucking Marjorie Taylor Greens.
Matt Gaetz.
All of it. Just watch The Secret Lives of Pets and remember that there's good things in the world.
Just watch that while you ignore the fact the government's being completely being overrun by fucking...
Listen,
Nazis.
I didn't say ignore it. I said take a break from it.
That's fair.
We have to find balance.
I also have cool shit. I'm not going to talk. Oh, no, I am this whole weekend. Or this whole episode is going to be me talking about my weekend. I was at a weekend. The very first time I went to this event. And for, you know, I'll just call it out for what it is. It's called Thriver Society for Hairdressers. It is a really awesome program to help you manage your business, but like more efficiently. Like it makes you better than everybody else. Like it might not make your skill better. They don't go over formulation or techniques at all, but it will go over your business step by step. And it really is a step by step thing. And it's great. So when the leader of this, the person who put it all together, Britt, put together Thrivers Live 2020, nobody knew what it was. I wasn't going to go cause it was like $500 and I'm like, I'm not paying $500 for this, but somebody was like, Charlotte, it's in Irvine, which is like 4 exits from here. I'm like, I'll just go. So I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go. So I went and
cause people were flying in.
Cause people were flying from all over, not just the country, but the world for this. There were people in Canada, maybe the UK, but don't quote me on that. So anyways, I show up for it. And then by the time the first speaker comes up, so like Britt introduces, she does all the stuff like I mentioned earlier with her Kardashian team of like security, but you know, welcomes us all and you know, like it's everyone's pumped. We're like, oh, you can feel it in the air. The energy is great. And the first person comes out and it's like a self-help kind of shit. I'm like, is this a fucking self-help weekend? I did not sign up for this. Oh, son of a bitch. But by the end of that, and by the time of it wouldn't just say the end of the weekend, by the end of that first speaker, I was like, I didn't know I really needed this. You know, I was like, worth every penny, I will go again, right?
Nice.
So now cut to Thrivers Live 2022. It's in Monterey. So I go out, and the first speaker, there were speakers for the VIP day because I'm a VIP. I also want to say I paid triple the price for this one. That's how much I enjoyed the first one.
Charlotte, why would you pay triple the price? Oh, that's how much it costs now.
She tripled the price.
I see.
And I could have not gotten VIP, but I'm like, why would I not get VIP? Like, I'm a fucking baller, bitch. So I did. She tripled the price. I paid it. And it was worth it. I'd do it again. But so the thing that I'm having for cool shit was the first speaker of the core day number one was this guy. His name's Hal Elrod. And he essentially, long story short, but again, I like this story the best. It's the one that stuck with me the most. Was like, he was a really good salesperson, getting top notches, whatever. He was leaving a conference. His girlfriend passed out in the side. He was going 70 miles down the freeway. And a drunk driver hit him head on. Going the opposite direction on the freeway, right?
Oh, fuck.
So it spins his car around, and the car behind him now hits him at 70 miles an hour in the side. So he's broken the entire half of his body. His whole, you know, few different places in his arm. His eye socket was broken. His eye wasn't being held properly. His femur bone, like in his legs, had broken. And he was in a coma immediately, right?
Thank God.
Yeah, right? Fucking awful. So he does finally wake up in the hospital and they tell him there's a good chance you're never going to be able to walk again. And then he kind of goes back. He's like, so anybody who's worked in sales knows that you get rejected on a daily basis multiple times. And he's like, and in the training that I was at, you have to be able to be okay with that. So it's like you can kind of wallow in your self-pity for about 5 minutes, but then you have to understand that you just can't change it and you got to move on. So I took that with what it was that, you know, my life may be forever changed, but I can't change that. I need to just look on the bright side of it, to the point where his doctors contacted his parents. He was 20 at the time, saying, you know, we think there's something wrong with him. Like most
because he won't accept it.
Right. It's like, that's pretty much it. It's like, it's okay to be depressed. Like he's not accepting the reality of a situation. And so when his dad was talking, he was like, we're really worried about you. This is what the doctor's saying. He's like, no, like, what's the point of wallowing in the pity? Like, all I can do is just try to be better. And he's like, I visualized every day of my bones mending and me just being better. And then with like 3 months, he was walking again. Anyways, ultimately, his life went to shit in 2008 during the market crash. His coaching, clients couldn't afford him anymore. And he fell into a deep depression. And this guy was like, he finally asked me, he's like, you're successful. What should I do to get, I need to start making money and like get out of this funk. He's like, you need to go running. It's like, running? I don't want to go running. Like, I'm not a jogger. Like,
yeah, fuck running.
It sounds terrible. He's like, no, the idea is the clarity you get from running is like nothing else. Just do that. So he's like, I hate running. He's like, I hate running that I'm not a morning person. He's like, oh, what do you hate more, waking up more early and running, or do you hate the situation you're in? He's like, fine. So he starts running, and he's like, I had the clarity I never thought I would, whatever, and I decided that I was no longer going to,
I don't like this story.
Was it because, thank you. I thought the same thing. I'm like, I want to fucking jog. Like, fuck you.
Fuck jogging.
But then he's like, I did some deep diving on how, how do you become a better person? Like, because if you're a better person, you're going to feel better and better. You're just naturally going to attract better things. And he's like, so I looked up all these different things to do. And I was like, well, I can't do all these things in one day. And so he came up with this Miracle Morning, which is the book that he wrote, which is, he calls it Life Savers. And Savers is an acronym. So he's like, the first S is for meditation. And it couldn't be Mavers, so silence. But that equates to meditating for at least 10 minutes. And then you do affirmations. So the I ams work, you try to attract the things you want or the things you like about yourself or the things you wish you were better at. It's like, I am a great public speaker.
I am a wealthy socialite.
Right? I am a size 4. and then there's visualization. E is for exercise. R is for reading, and then S, another one, he's like, W didn't work for my acronym, so he put scribing, but it's writing, right? So you write down your gratitude lists and things and I've heard about writing gratitude lists every day, and it naturally gives you in a better mood, and you tend to attract more of the things you're grateful for when you put pen to paper. And
I do that. I don't write it down, but I definitely, when I'm feeling bummed, I do think about the things I'm grateful for.
And I know this is going to sound super woo-woo, but there is some magic to putting pen to paper.
Did you say woo-woo?
It's woo-woo. It's that fucking magical shit you can't explain that sounds like, some people would call it God. I prefer to call it the universe.
I prefer to call it woo-woo.
I call it my woo-woo.
And that's why we're bringing to you, for the first time ever, Charlotte's Woo-Woo, the class where you can
be a better person in 30 short days. But anyways, I liked it so much. I started it today, and I had a shit morning. I'll be perfectly honest. I was fighting with a company that I'm working with, and I was not happy. And then I'm like, this is supposed to be my miracle morning. And so I stopped, and I spent 10 minutes doing each of those 6 things, and...
Can I come up with a jingle?
Maybe good.
For you? So, like, you'll wake up and your alarm clock will say, it's a miracle morning.
I will fucking punch you in the face is what I could do with that.
And that's how you have to start your miracle morning every day.
Well, I'm going to keep y'all posted how we decided to call it a magical morning instead because it makes me a little bit more comfortable saying it.
It makes me feel like Disney.
It's a magical morning. But you know what? I've heard from enough different people from everywhere that this shit works for them. And that, people don't even take their weekends off to sleep in. They still wake up to do this because it makes them feel so good. I'll keep you all posted. Anyways, that was my cool shit. Because if you're feeling bad about stuff, you can't get out of a funk or some shit like that, maybe pick up the book, read it, or just go on to, what was his website? It was miraclemornings.com. Super fucking easy.
We'll put it on our social medias too, so you can
find
it.
We'll put it on there so you can find it. But anyways, so just, I thought that was cool shit. I want to be a better person. I want good things in my life.
I want to be a better person, but I hate not sleeping when I could be sleeping.
Okay, here's, you wake up early for work all the time. You know how much I do not, and yes. I hate it. I woke up today at 8:30, and I didn't hit snooze, because they say, like, don't hit snooze. Why are you hitting snooze? You're just going to be more miserable later. Just get up, brush your teeth, drink a full glass of water. Because you're dehydrated from sleeping all night, right? So I'm like, well, I'm definitely putting exercise as the last of my savers because fuck you, right? So, and again, I mistakenly opened my phone and then started messaging. And I'm like, oh, and then I got, that took an hour. The hour I was supposed to be doing this was an hour I spent arguing for some bullshit. But I still had an hour left before I had to be work. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to meditate. That I know how to meditate. I'll just meditate. I need to bring my blood pressure down anyway. So I did that for 10 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, I can do affirmations. I have it written out. I did this course of affirmations. So I wrote out my affirmations. I wrote for that. And that was easy. That was less than 10 minutes because I don't have that many affirmations. But I did it for at least 5 minutes. And then I was like, exercise. I might as well just do it. Just do it. And so I set my alarm clock for 10 minutes because I wasn't doing a minute over it. And I started off by doing some sit-ups. And I'm like, I hate this. I hate this so much. And then I was like, okay, I did 20. And I was like, oh, that's
good job.
I was like, that sucked. I'm going to do some leg lifts. So I did 20 leg lifts. And I look over the clock and only 40 seconds have gone by. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
That would be me right there.
So then I went back to sit-ups. I'm like, I'm going to do side sit-ups this time. And then I was like, okay, Sarah Connor arms. It's been on my vision board forever. I want Sarah Connor arms from Terminator 2.
Technically, you want Sarah Connor's twin sister's arms.
That is a fact. So I try doing push-ups, but it turns out my room is so full of shit that I don't have the space to adequately do a push-up. So then I try doing knee push-ups. But I can't do that either because my knees hurt on the carpet. I'm like, this sucks. So I'm like, okay, we'll do some jumping jacks then. So I do, you know, I do about 30 seconds of jumping jacks and it's only been like 5 minutes. And I'm like, God damn it. I do some lunges but I'm like, the arms, that's what I want. So I found 2 Bath and Body Works candles and I pick them up. I'm like, these are super light. These aren't going to do anything. But I was like, I'm going to do them anyways. So I did curls with them. And by the time I got to about 20 of them, I'm like, fuck, my arms hurt. Like, this sucks. So then I go out on the side and I do like those bird thing or whatever. I don't know if that does anything. I don't know. I don't work out. And I'm
just,
like,
just holding the weight of my own arms up right? For 5 minutes would be an exercise.
I did a lot of those because I'll be, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be ripped.
Just in case anyone's wondering too, the actress who plays Sarah Connor, her name's Linda Hamilton.
Correct.
Her twin sister, identical twin sister.
Is her stunt double.
Is her stunt double and does all the scenes where she's buff and doing fucking like pull-ups and chin-ups and push-ups and
right?
Shooting shit and being a badass
That's
bitch.
So rad.
That's her twin sister. So just a little knowledge bomb in case you didn't know that.
Right? And it's rad. And that's really who I want to look like, right? I also would like to not be a size 14, but whatever. So then I read The Miracle Morning for 15 minutes. I took some extra time with that. And then I wrote out what I was grateful for. And so I'll tell you what, I had a pretty decent day considering how shitty it started. I actually can't wait to do it tomorrow. As stupid as that sounds.
Day one done. You'll get a recap on day whatever
eight.
Ends up
being. Yeah. 19. Who knows?
You're going to start getting skinny and rich and all the things you want.
You could do it with me.
I'm going to be jealous.
We could do them together for like sisters.
Okay, I'll think about it. I'll think about it while we hear a word from our sponsors and I'll let you know my final decision.
Well, we haven't even gone to this motherfucker yet.
Oh, you're right. do you want to hear what I have for this motherfucker?
Yes.
All right, so I didn't do a whole lot of deep diving, But I did find a new Twitter account that I really like that somebody retweeted, and it's her name is Jenny Kahn, or Jennifer Kahn. She's at Jenny JENNY Kahn COHN 1 number 1, and she is basically an election security advocate and a political writer.
Okay,
but all the stuff she posts is very like in line with our, you know, ideals or whatever. And she posted this link to this article written by Democracy Docket, which I'd never heard of the publication. So, and to be honest with you, I haven't really researched it, so I can't say the legitimacy of it. But this woman who is tweeting on Twitter, she has like almost 250,000 followers.
Oh, wow.
So I have a feeling it's pretty legit.
Yeah.
But just disclaimer here. But I just want to read you. So this is from Democracy Docket. And I just want to read you what the article says, because I think it's really bad, but I haven't had enough time with a sober mind to process it. So we're all going to uncover it together. But the headline says, U.S. Supreme Court to review Republican redistricting case right. About state legislative power.
Jesus Christ.
Right? Immediately, you've got the Supreme Court reviewing it. fuck this Supreme Court. Right. It's coming from Republicans, and it's about redistricting. Wow. So here's what it says. It's not a long read. It says, today, this was yesterday, Colin's birthday, the U.S. Supreme Court granted a Republican petition out of North Carolina focused on the state's congressional map, opening up a review on the radical independent state legislature, or ISL, theory during the court's next term. So this theory, up until today, has been dismissed by courts as fringe constitutional theory. A bunch of wackadoodles reading shit into the... I'm paraphrasing right now.
Right.
Anyways, I'll keep reading. So it's been dismissed. They're arguing that state legislatures have special authority to set federal election rules free from interference from other parts of state government, such as state courts and governors. This special authority, I'm giving it quotes, but it doesn't actually have any, according to the ISL theory, means that only state legislatures can draw new congressional districts, and any map passed by a state judicial system is unconstitutional.
What?
So I don't know. It doesn't give any, like, meat to the bones, like, where right. they're, what little parts and words and paragraphs they're picking out of the Constitution to say that this thing is legit.
Right.
But our fucking benevolent Supreme Court has right. said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and hear this.
Of course they are, because they're fucking Nazis.
Yeah, so it's going to come, it's actually going to be probably talked about a lot more next month.
Right.
What this article from the Democracy Docket is saying is how the court rules on this issue could shape legislature's power in regulating federal elections and the checks and balances on power for years to come.
No.
Which is bad, right? When I read this, I was like, I've been drinking, but this, and I'm not smart. Right. This sounds really bad.
We're actually extremely smart. I talk to some people, and they're like, you girls are so knowledgeable. I'm like, well, everybody knows this. Like, I had no idea. And I was like, oh. Did you hear? Because I didn't hear about this until I saw a tweet that's talked about all the things the Supreme Court has done in the week. And I didn't realize that they had gone in and taken away some of the rights of the Native American reservations.
No, I didn't hear that.
So... And again, I'm not getting into the meat of it because I didn't do any research on it, but I just remembered it because I'm like, fuck the Supreme Court. They're the fucking worst. So they do all these horrible things that get the big headlines. This one didn't get any headlines for some reason, but if you Google it, you can find all the information about it. But it pretty much just said, conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch, as he did in 2020, joined the court's liberal bloc Wednesday in favor of Native American interests. Which meant that, I guess, Neil Gorsuch was in the minority, but still it passed. So it says, parentheses, to be clear, the court today holds that Indian country within a state's territory is part of a state, not separate from the state, Kavanaugh wrote in a decision that scholars of Native American law said the major departure from a longstanding precedent.
That's crazy.
And the reason from what I remember reading this was that actually somebody who wasn't Native either killed somebody on Native lands that or abused somebody that was a minor that was a Native American, but that should have been left to the Native Americans courts to deal with it, but the U.S. has decided to come in and do that
yeah,
for them.
They say that
to put the whitewashing on it, right? Yeah. To make it seem like it's not a terrible thing, but they are taking away reservation rights.
Wow, that's actually really right. huge.
And I haven't, that happened at the same time as Roe versus Wade and it got buried.
No fucking wonder. It's all fucking orchestrated. Right? It's all, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist and I don't want to be all the fucking QAnon bullshit people
right,
that my mom
they
listens
make conspiracy
to.
People look insane.
It's in my DNA and right. I know that, so I'm trying really hard not to like perpetuate that, but that's a really big deal.
It's a really, really fucking big, this was their plan all along. I mean... This was the goal. No one cared about Trump. I mean, not the people. People are stupid. They'll follow anything. But the Republicans, they never liked Trump. They all thought he was fucking horrible. But they knew he would do the work.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham actually said, there's a quote of him saying, if we nominate Trump, it'll, I forget what it says exactly, but it's like, he'll fucking ruin everything and it'll be our fault.
Right.
It's essentially
right. But then he's like, oh, wait, he either got paid out by somebody or said, you know, but I want these things to happen like Roe versus Wade. So I'm willing to set aside the Constitution and to know what's morally correct for this country to serve my own interests.
I've got one more thing for this motherfucker, then we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. I don't know if you've seen this in your feeds, but I've seen a lot of this really tone-deaf white couple holding up a sign that says, yes. We'll adopt your baby. White couple sign, we will adopt your baby. Don't abort. We will adopt your baby. How about the fucking 400,000 kids that need to be adopted right now?
In foster care. Probably being abused by some foster parents.
Yeah, adopt those fucking kids. Don't hold up a sign for your political agenda and your church dress.
As soon as the fucking foster homes and adoption centers and whatever the orphanages are fucking empty, you can tell me I can't have an abortion anymore. But until that fucking day comes, go fuck yourself.
And put your tone-deaf, bullshit, white people sign down. That's offensive. It's offensive on so many levels. Fuck you.
And again, I will real quick, because I posted, this was something that was actually pretty nice. I don't think a lot of these people listen to the podcast, so it's not for them. But like, I'm kind of not, it's not that I'm not allowed to put political stuff on my Facebook. I'm highly encouraged not to, because of companies that I work with, right? And I understand why. You don't want to offend an entire group of people that could potentially make sales higher.
You're not doing a very good job.
No, because I'm sorry. When it comes to taking away fucking people's rights, you can go fuck yourself. If you have a problem with that, I'm sorry, not sorry. I'm posting about it. Everybody needs to understand how wrong this is. And I know that we don't really change people's minds through Facebook, but I would be remiss if I didn't fucking share. Cut to now going to this conference, there's probably like at least 500 to 800 people here. I could be wrong. It might even be lower than that. There was a lot of people. And I felt actually super, super good. I had people who have courses, so they cannot do it because they cannot lose that money, right? Who pulled me aside and was like, Charlotte, I just wanted to tell you real quick, I can't thank you enough for what you've been posting. I agree with you 100%, and I'm sad that I can't post it as well. But I want to thank you for doing the work. And I'm like, oh, really? I had at least 10 people do that to
That's
me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it made me feel really good, and it made me, and especially from somebody I've never even spoken to, but I admire. I'm like, oh my God, that guy is like amazing. I can't wait to sign up for his class. Pulled me aside, was like, hey, I just want to talk to you real quick. And I'm like, really? Okay, thanks. You know, so it's, so people are looking. So you're not going to change the mind of the fucking asshole who's already dead set and they're bullshit. The lady who said, another win for America, and put the thing where they said you can pray now at school. You're never going to change that fucker's mind. But there's going to be the random people that you might be like, you know what? I either appreciate what you're doing and I feel seen and heard, or she has a valid point.
You know what? It takes a lot of, I was thinking about this for, you know, doing something to be excellent for each other. We can just like jam it in early.
Right?
But I was really, I've been sort of collecting inspirational quotes or just kind of trying to piece together things that I think would be impactful, but not super cheesy corporate bullshit to like make, you know, fun type font graphics for a room I'm designing. And one of the things that kept coming up was, it's like the sentiment is, it's so much easier for other people to stand up and do the right thing if just one person does it first.
Right.
You know what I mean? Think about that. It's like there could be a whole room full of people or a whole bus full of people that want to say like, hey, this is fucked up that you're making this lady, you know, move to the back of the bus or whatever it is. But if one person stands up, then it basically gives license to everybody else who was feeling hesitant or trepidatious or uncomfortable about standing up. It gives them the opportunity and the excuse to do it because they see one person doing it. So to anybody who thinks you can't make a difference, I think speaks to your story.
Right. Like, that's awesome.
Do it.
And lastly, I'm just going to put this because I think it fits, and I won't remember to say it next week, but like, I shared a post of a woman who was devastated that her 24-week, I don't know what that translates to, baby was having, she could feel the seizures happening inside of her. It said she was not compatible with life. So she had made the decision to abort it because it's going to either die inside of her or it's going to die once it's born. But at the end of the day, even if it lives, it's going to be the most miserable life for that little child, right? So if you want to not call it a fetus and call it a baby, I'm sorry, it's still a fucking fetus, but whatever. There is a difference. She's like, I just, you know, I thought it wouldn't happen so quickly. I made that decision, and 2 days later, my doctor said I couldn't have it because the state of Arizona had already put it into place that she couldn't get it done. And, yep, she didn't say the Arizona part of it, but, like, she wrote this whole thing. She's like, so now I have to travel out of state to have an abortion because I don't want to feel my baby have seizures inside of my body anymore until she dies from it. Like, it's a fucking horrendous, traumatic thing they have to go through. Somebody came onto my, a council person of our town came onto my page and said, do we actually know this person? What state is it from? He's a lawyer. I'm like, I knew I didn't like you. I changed my mind about you, and I'm back to not fucking liking you
again. What's his name?
Derek Reeves.
Derek Reeves, fuck yourself, Derek Reeves. Go fuck yourself.
I never liked you to begin with. So, to be fair, I don't know who this person is. I shared her story because it moved me, and it's absolutely... And even if it wasn't true, let's go and just say it wasn't real. That doesn't mean that's not real for somebody. Yep. That happened to somebody. That was not created out of fucking thin air. So I went and I looked her up on Instagram because it's a screen grab of an Instagram. I found her. I found her GoFundMe. Not only was it Arizona and she was completely legitimate, she turned off the funds because she made enough. She had gotten a grant for about $8,700 that would help pay to fly her or to get her to another state. She needed another $9,000. So she puts it out there. When I looked at it, it said 20 grand. And I was like, good for her. And I was reading the comments. It was like, love from the UK. I can't believe you have to go through this. So many people donated $5, $10. A couple people did like 150, but it was a lot of small donations. And, you know, update. You know, she's like, I am overwhelmed by the support you guys have shown me. I can't thank you enough. I'm going to turn it off after 20,000 because at, I think it was something like 18,000. It would pay for it in full, and she can give back that grant she got to help another woman. And so not she's not grifting. She's not trying to take money from people. She turned it off, and it's just like, fuck you for, oh, is this legitimate? Go fuck yourself, Derek Reeves.
Piece of shit. Derek Reeves, go fuck yourself. Hey, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Let's meditate on how big of a prick Derek Reeves is. If you live in Orange County, California, particularly the city of San Juan Capistrano, and you want to tell Derek Reeves to go fuck himself, we highly encourage that.
I hate it because he's actually one, well, actually now it doesn't matter, but at the time he was probably only one of the good city council people, but now he's just a part of the fucking problem.
And we'll be right back.
Wives 3 and 5 have you in the doghouse? Wives 2 and 4 experiencing shark week in their garments? Wife one just looking so much like, old wife number one? Have we got the solution for you? Why not give Prophets of Porno Polygamy Chatline a call? It's a choose-your-own-adventure here on Pop's Chatline. You select the number of wives you want to chat with, sit back, and let the fun begin. When one of your pop wives just isn't cutting the casserole, push the number on your touch-tone telephone to switch over to your next dream wife. Best part? None of the wives on the Prophets for Porno chatline are over 14. No nagging, and anything goes. The Prophets of Porno chatline costs a nominal 11% tithing of your monthly income. But keep in mind, the more money you make, the more the babies bake. So call us now at 1-888-4-MORONI. That number again is 1-888-466-7664. Prophets of Porno is part of Heavenly Father's plan in 4 states.
And we're back.
All right. Who wants to hear a story about my hotel mate from hell?
Me.
Now, I want to start this story by saying I don't hate this person. I don't want to burn her down. I don't want to try and make her like... Maybe I do want to shame her. It's not that I want to shame her. I hate conflict. I hate conflict so much that I will avoid it as best as I can, to the point that this was a little too far. But also, I would hope that if I was this inconsiderate with somebody, somebody would tell me. And what better way than to hear it from a podcast, right?
So start at the beginning. Where does this story start? So
where do I begin? I've been planning to go to Monterey for this trip for a few months. maybe like even like 4 or 5 months, I've always known that I was going to pair up with my friend Kelly from Canada. We're going to be roommates. It's going to be rad. Well, Kelly decided not to get vaccinated, so she can't leave Canada. And she's been in Canada jail ever since, right? I did not know that was the reason she wasn't coming until I was already in Monterey. And that, you know, that alone was rude because I could have found a roommate a lot sooner. So 2 weeks before the events to happen, she's like, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to get out of Canada jail, so find a new roommate. All right, so I scramble. I also had no idea how expensive these rooms were. I'm like, well, I can afford it. I make good money. And I can technically afford it, but I shouldn't have to. It's stupidly expensive. So I put out into the Facebook group, because there's a private Facebook group of everybody who's attending this conference. Hey, you guys, if anybody needs a roommate, I'm looking for one. Hit me up, whatever. This girl that I've been talking to for years, very nice. I mean, we don't talk like on a deep level by any means, but we talk about business stuff here and there. We've attempted to be accountability partners a couple times, but to be perfectly honest, I'm a real shit accountability partner because I'm not accountable at all. I suck at that. I don't do my shit like I should. But you know, she's always been very nice. So she's like, hey, I want to talk to you about the roommate situation. When do you have time to talk? Sure, you know, I work at 11 o'clock. Why don't you call me like at 9:30? Talk to you while I get ready to go to work. Cool. So she doesn't just call me, she FaceTimes me.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I'm still in my pajamas. I don't start doing my makeup and hair until like 10:15, sometimes later. So I'm still in bed, but I'm like, all right, I guess I'll answer it. Or I was like, yeah, I'm still in bed. She's like, oh, me too, girl. I like to hang. I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. And then you know, we talk about microdosing and things like that, things that she knows I'm interested in. And then she's like, okay, so about the whole Thrivers thing, I can't like afford to go really. Like the home office was really like cool about giving me a discounted ticket. And I'm looking at getting airfare or maybe I'll drive. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do everything in my power to be there. I know for my business, I have to be there. Now, is there any way I could pay you later? Or maybe we could barter for the room? And me, I'm thinking, yeah, definitely. You can pay me back later. But I know realistically, I'm never going to see that money. And so I made a split second decision of this could be me paying it forward. Again, I didn't know how expensive the rooms were because I don't think I'm that generous. And it's not even that much, really, if you think about it, but I'm still like, fuck you. Anyways, I digress. So she's just like, oh, that would be so amazing. Okay, we'll room together and it's going to be great. And we can talk about everything we're going to learn. It's going to be great. I'm like, yeah, great. It was whatever. And then she proceeds to tell me how like shit her life is. Like, I've already known that she was in a car accident like 3 years ago. She had brain damage from it. I know plenty. I have one good friend of mine who got drunk on a bike and hit a tree thinking she was Indiana Jones and had to relearn how to speak speak English. You can come back from these brain damage things. The guy who wrote that the Miracle Mornings had brain damage. You can't use it as a crutch forever. Okay. So she's like, okay, great. This is going to be wonderful. I'm like, yeah, I got to go to work. Whatever. I get off the phone with her. I immediately tell one of my clients like what's going on. And she's like, this sounds like a big red flag. Cause to be fair, she's like, I'm a festival kid. I'll get rides from whoever will give me one. Give me a place to sleep. I'll sleep on your couch. And I'm like, oh, fucking hippies. I lived in Bellingham long enough. I know the type. They'll take advantage of anything kind of a thing. Grifter came to mind, but it wasn't cemented yet. It was a red flag. My client said it was a big red flag, and I chose to ignore that. So now, cut to, I really didn't talk to her very much leading up to the event. I paid for the VIP ticket, which means it's 3 days. The normal event is 2 days. So I get there early, and I go to check in. Also, mind you, she calls me the next day and says, oh, so you're staying at the Patola Hotel, which is a nicer hotel. It was kind of contingent on me getting this ticket at a discount that we have to stay at the Marriott across the street. Do you mind changing your reservation? Also asked to stay under my name. And I'm like,
what?
I guess. I mean, I get Marriott points, so I'm like, I guess that makes sense. I'll get my Marriott points and we'll go over there. And it should be less expensive anyways because it's a not as nice a hotel.
Wait, did you say it has to be under her name?
Because for her to have the ticket for this Thrivers event, it was contingent on her staying at the Marriott. Now, I don't actually even know if that's true or not. This is just what she told me. Turns out she actually got that ticket for free, by the way. I'll just point that out right now. So when I checked in, I had to give her name and then say, I'm on the thing and this is my credit card. I'll be paying for it. Great. We don't have you for tonight. And I'm like, oh, I guess that's right. She wouldn't have a VIP night. I thought she was showing up that day, but she can't afford a place to stay. There's no way she can afford a $1,500 ticket, right? So they're like, don't worry. We'll get you in. We'll get you on the group rate. I'm like, thank you. Appreciate it. Like, I didn't even think about this. Great. So I get the first night to myself. I'm like, this is nice. But I was like, when I got there, I got in pretty late. So I didn't get to meet up with any of the other stylists. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go to dinner by myself. So I go and I have a really nice steak dinner across the street. I get myself a whole bottle of wine because that's what you do. I only drank half of it, which is strange for me. I get back to the room. I go to bed. I have to be up early. Registration is like 8 o'clock, I think. So I set my alarm for 6:30 because I want to be bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I want to take all advantage of all the good things. So I do. I leave, and then I get a message from her later, like, "Hey, I'm in town. Yeah, I made it in. Everything's great." I'm like, "Good. You know, just get a key. Welcome to the room. Whatever. We're good." Message later. "Hey, can I have some of your wine?" "Yeah, sure. I mean, what am I gonna say? No. I don't even like day-old wine, anyways. Sure. Yeah, have some wine." It was an expensive bottle of wine, but yeah, it's fine. Then I finish up the day's events, but they're going to have a cocktail party later. So I need to go home and change for my cocktail attire. I don't think to tell her, hey, I'm on my way, just to give her a heads up. Maybe I should have, to be honest, but didn't occur to me because I'm paying for the room. And I open up the door, and you know, like when somebody's doing something wrong or they're caught off guard, like it's like a scramble, and like the door shuts. And I'm like, oh, well, that was weird. And so I go into the room, and I don't see her. She went into the bathroom.
Maybe she was naked.
That's what I figured. That was my thing. So I was cleaning out my cup, her menstrual cup. And again, this took me about 3 days to reflect back on. Where was she cleaning that menstrual cup? In the sink? Not the shower? I mean, a shower I could understand. The sink where I brush my teeth? Not so much. Not great. She has brain damage. Maybe she just didn't think it through.
And she's a hippie.
And she's a goddamn fucking hippie. But I digress. Let's get back to the story. So that happens. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. It was a really long first day for me. One, I'm not used to waking up that early. It's not really my thing. There was information overload, right? And not only that, but I'm, you know, not just empathetic, but there was a lot of people. So I just actually kind of wanted to come, not even meditate, just be quiet for a minute. That's all I really wanted. And then meanwhile, she comes over and grabs my bottle of wine and pours herself another glass. And now there's what was a half a bottle of wine is now a quarter of a glass of wine, maybe. So I take it and I pour it for myself because fuck you if you're drinking my whole glass of wine. Oh, I just knew the universe had our back because I'm going through a breakup and you had tissues next to the bed and a bottle of wine like it was just meant for me. Okay. Great. Interesting. I got to go to this cocktail party. I'm going to go get ready. She's like, I'm going to go to Trader Joe's and get some food. So she goes and orders the microwave to be in the room so she can microwave food. I totally get that. You can't afford to go out to eat. You can barely afford to be here. But now the room also just smells like weird food. Like, I didn't even care about that stuff. That's just a side note. So I leave. I go to my cocktail party, whatever. It's fine. We come back. I come back later that night. She's there. We chat. Also, mind you, while we're drinking the wine and I'm starting to get ready to go to the cocktail party, she gets out a joint. I have zero problem that she smokes pot. I know lots of people that smoke pot. Sometimes I smoke pot. Whatever. So she goes, she smokes her joint. I get ready. I go to my cocktail party. Come back later that night. I told her, I was like, well, registration for you is 7:50 to like 8:10. So you kind of have to be out of the room early. No big deal. We go to sleep. I wake her. She's East Coast time, by the way. I think she's from Connecticut. I don't care. I have my headphones in and I also have earplugs in. I've learned how to, I've I have roomed with, I want to also, this should have started, I have roomed with so many random people over the last 5 years because of all the different hair shit that I do. I am used to staying with strangers. I am not a prude. I am usually very easygoing. This was a goddamn nightmare. So I have my headphones in. I can't hear her. Like, I can kind of hear her moving around. I heard her alarm. And again, none of that's a big deal. I can go back to sleep. I can't tell you how long she was in the bathroom. 4 hours? I don't know. Because my alarm went off at 8 o'clock. So it gave me an hour to get ready. The conference starts at 9. She should have been gone by 8:10. She's still there. Okay, she's still there. I'll go on Facebook. I'll scroll, whatever. 8:30, she's still fucking there. I'm like, okay, I have to start getting ready at some point. I want to be at least 15 minutes early so I can get a good seat because I paid a lot of money for this. It's now 5 minutes because she's still... No, like, hey, just let me know if you need to get in here. No, like... Because I would think if I wasn't paying for a room, I would make myself as small as possible mm-hmm. and out of the way as possible. Nah. So I'm like, I'm finally like, one, I have to take a piss. I have to brush my teeth. I have to get ready. Like, this is bullshit. I'm going to miss my shit and get a terrible seat and miss maybe even the opening shit if she doesn't fucking get the fuck out of my way. So I go, there's a barrier between the beds and where the sink is. And of course, the bathroom and shower has its own door, but you still have to go in that area. She's butt fucking naked in front of the sink doing her hair at 9:40, right? It's 20 minutes till the event time. 8:40. 20 minutes before the event time. I'm like, I'm sorry. I have to brush my teeth. Like, I have to start getting ready. No apology. No recognition. Oh, maybe I'll go put some clothes on, I think was what she said. Yeah, that'd be great. Brush my teeth. Do my makeup super quick. I end up using the TV off as a reflection to curl my hair in a room that I'm paying $260 a night for. That doesn't sound right because the overall bill was $1,200.
Oh, shit.
For 4 nights, it was $1,200. And I couldn't even use my mirror. And so, and again, is that my fault for not speaking up? Yeah, probably. But I also fucking hate confrontation. And how fucking dare you? So anyway, she finally fucking leaves. I think we actually might have even walked together. Whatever. I sit in VIP. She sits in her standard seating. I joke with my new friend, Nikki, about how awful she is. And she's like, girl, that is awful. I'm like, right? Ah, fuck her. Whatever. It's fine. Conference is over for the day. But now we've got an overall cocktail party for everybody. I want to go drop my stuff off first. Now, I know from walking in on her naked, cleaning out her menstrual cup, that maybe I should give her some heads up this time. So I open up the door, and I happen to be talking to another thriver in the hallway. Like, oh, hey, girl, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, cool. No, I'll meet you at the cocktail party. And I thought it kind of smelled like cigarette smoke. And I'm like, well, maybe the person I'm talking to smoked a cigarette. And then I go in, and I'm like, dude, it smells like pot in here. Like, straight up pot. So I go and open the windows, like, oh, yeah, I smoked a joint in the bathroom. I'm like, yeah, you can't do that. And she's like, well, I looked around and I didn't see anything that said I couldn't smoke. And I'm like, you're in California. You can't smoke in any rooms. Also, it's a $200 cleaning fee if they find you, which I will be paying for. And what I wanted to say and didn't say was, does this room smell like an ashtray to you? No, it's because nobody's fucking smoked in it. You're not fucking stupid. You knew yesterday you had to smoke outside. But you didn't think I was coming back. And you fucking smoked a joint in a room you're not paying for. How fucking rude is that? I was fucking clearly livid. But a coward and didn't say anything because I'm like, oh yeah, no, I mean, can't do it. All of California, smoke outside. You cannot smoke in this room again. I'll air it out. And I think in the next 2 to 3 days when I check out, it should be aired out by then. Don't do it again, kind of a thing. Bitch. So I think she left first. I left later. I end up meeting up again with my friend Nikki, and she's like, shut the fuck up. She did not do that. I'm like, yeah, she did. I don't know what her deal is, but this is fucked up. And then, like the adult that I am, instead of dealing with my problems and talking about it, I just went and drank a fuck ton and blacked the fuck out. We went to this hookah bar, and the bartender just kept giving me free drinks and free shots, and I kept taking them. Anyways, she walks me back to my room. I don't even remember seeing her. I pass the fuck out. I wake up around 4 a.m. I decide not to set an alarm because I'm like, I just need to sleep through this hangover that I know I'm going to have. I hear her alarm go off. She's been in the bathroom all morning, as usual. And then she wakes me up and says, hey, the event starts in 10 minutes. I didn't hear your alarm go off. But then proceeds to go back to the bathroom until 9:10. I don't know what she expected. Like, I do need space to do my shit. If you didn't hear the annoyance in my voice of I have to brush my teeth the night before, I don't even know what to fucking say to you. I'm so fucking done. And I was so hungover. Honestly, I had to go throw up. Like, but you need, I don't like throwing up in front of people. Get the fuck out of my room. So she finally leaves. I do what I gotta do. And I'm ready within 20 minutes. I brush my teeth. I put some makeup on. I put my hair in some pigtails. I go for my second day. Now, cut to, it's the end of the conference. They're giving out awards. They have like Thriver of the Year, people who do the best, upcoming stars, people who help out the Facebook groups a lot, blah, blah, blah. And they've got one called Rising Phoenix, or the Phoenix Award, I think. And it's those people who have been just pushed down so far, and they're going to make it back up. And as soon as Britt said it, I just started hitting my friend. I was like, shut the fuck up. And she's like, what? I was like, oh, you know who it's going to be. And she starts talking about the car accident. And again, this is an inappropriate time to be laughing. This is an inappropriate time to be like, fuck that bitch. But mind you, at lunch before all this happened, I told the story of everything that had just happened in this weekend to a group of people, the whole like round table, and everyone's like, shut up, no, she's awful. I'm like, yeah, she's fucking terrible. And I was like, no, you could tell who she, because nobody could tell who she was. I'm like, she's got like tattoos around her hairline because she's a fucking gypsy, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, so our friend Laura, who wasn't sitting with us, she's like, oh, as soon as they said her name, I thought it sounded familiar. And I was like, turn around. And if there's fucking tattoos, I'm going to lose it. And sure enough, she turns around. She's like, oh my gosh. She's like, I had to leave the room because I was laughing so hard and it was so inappropriate. But I'm just like, fucking bitch. Of course she gets the Phoenix Award because, you know, life's been so fucking hard for her. But I'm like, I don't want to say you're a horrible human being. She's actually probably, she's very nice from what I've talked to her online. But this experience was fucking horrendous. Like, yeah. How could you be so oblivious to the people around you, and especially when you're not paying for it and you just take up all of the space?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy,
right? Oh, I don't know if that's a good story. All I know is it made a lot of people laugh. It made me laugh, and I also want to punch some people in the face.
No, it's a great story. I would have handled it so much differently.
Tell me what you would have done, because I was so like deer in headlights. I didn't know what to do. I hate confrontation. I didn't know what I could say to her that wouldn't have just either caused... I was so afraid that she... Because I don't know her. I had to sleep with my wallet under my pillow. Because was she going to steal my shit? I don't know this person. And she's shown no consideration at all during this entire time. Is she going to charge drinks to the room? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if she did.
Exactly.
Craig, told me halfway through, he's like, check out of that room, kick her the fuck out, and go stay with your new friend. And I was like, I should, but I'm not going to. But like, what would you have done?
Do you remember the movie Fargo?
Yes.
Classic Coen Brothers movie.
Right.
Do you remember the scene where the sheriff, Margie, goes to meet her like high school friend? And he's like made up some story about how his wife died from leukemia and he's trying to hit on her. And he goes, they meet at a Radisson or maybe a Marriott,
right,
or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, let me come sit on this side with you, and puts his arm around her with his drink. And she's like, he's like, can I come sit by you? And she's like, no, I'd prefer it if you sit over there. Just right. With a smile, It doesn't have to be mean, but like, no, I'm more comfortable if you sit over there.
Right.
You can say what you want to say. And be very blunt and very clear and very precise with a smile. And
I feel like I did that with the joint smoking in the room. Because, again, if it's going to cost me an extra $200, fuck you. But when it came to the bathroom thing, I just didn't know. I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable being naked around somebody I don't know. I mean, actually, I'm totally fine getting naked in front of people.
It was the other things.
It's everything around that. And it was just piled one thing on top of a fucking other thing.
The minute that it piled up to probably three things, I would have said, hey, I really need to pee. I really need to get in the bathroom. And this isn't working out for me. I'm going to need you to leave. Hand over your key. Honestly.
Shit.
What do you know?
I should have called you. What was I thinking?
How have you not learned this from the girls on My Favorite Murder? Fuck politeness.
Right.
You know, this isn't a situation where you're necessarily in danger. Right. But
if I felt like I was in danger, that would have happened. My mindset was, where is she going to stay?
Yeah, your credit card. No, fuck. Who fucking cares?
I know.
She grifted her way into your life.
Too sympathetic? I don't know. Like, I would feel bad. Like, you have nowhere to stay now. Go fuck yourself. Because she's not an evil person. Like I said, I'm not trying to blast her. I'm not even trying to ruin her life. There have been actual multiple people who have said to me, you need to contact the people that put this conference on and tell them exactly what happened. Because she's a grifter.
You have to be able to... There's a certain point where you want to be empathetic. You want to think about the other person. That's what makes you a good person. That's what makes you who you are. But when you get to that point where somebody is so obviously... That's what I'm saying. The three layers, right? When it comes to taking all your wine...
Smoking in the room, which is going to cost me money, and not respecting my personal fucking space.
Yeah, at that third thing, or you say, listen, this isn't working out. I'm on the line for this room. This is my credit card. This isn't working out. You need to find another place to stay. There's a lot of people here. You need to find another place to stay. And you just have to be blunt, you know?
I would have been known as the asshole of the convention, which I actually don't have a problem with. No, she would tell everybody about how I kicked the poor girl with brain damage out of the room.
Well, it sounds like you have your own chair squad.
That's true. Everybody thinks she's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And actually, I was telling somebody about it. I was hanging out with right before I left. She's like, shut the fuck up. I was her accountability partner. She's a little fucking crazy. And I was like, I don't even care about the woo-woo-ness and the being a total fucking hippie. Like, it's not my favorite thing, but I lived in Bellingham. It's not a big deal.
You can't be inconsiderate when you're freeloading.
So inconsiderate when you're paying for absolute. And then that was the other thing, and this is 100% my own fault. I had no idea how much the room was. I thought it was going to be like around $800. I was like, $200 a night sounds about right for a group rate for a Marriott. I didn't consider that it was in fucking Monterey. And so when it was $1,200, I was like, oh, fuck that bitch. Even more so. Like, I was already annoyed not even knowing what the price was. And then when I finally signed for the bill, and I did itemize it to make sure she didn't sign anything to the room. But with resort fees and all the bullshit that goes along with it, I'm like, of course.
I think the moral of this story is be comfortable with setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Be comfortable with iterating your feelings to somebody, even though it may be uncomfortable and you may be worried about hurting their feelings. When it comes to a certain point where it's like so many lines have been crossed, you have to look out for yourself and you have to just say, hey, this isn't working out. Good luck to you. But you are not responsible for their lot in life.
Right.
You're not responsible for them not having a place to stay. They made that decision to get here. Was it fraudulent? It turns out, yes, probably it was. And you're just a mark.
I mean, who knows what they said to the company
exactly.
to get that free ticket? Because none of us got fucking free tickets.
Yeah.
None of us got free fucking hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And, it left out one part. So now it's the last day of the conference. So we have one more night together. I look into the Facebook group of all the attendees. She puts in there, hey, if anybody's going to Los Angeles and wants a passenger, let me know. I'd love a ride down to Los Angeles. And I'm like, and of course I showed Nikki. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Look, now she's trying to grift a way down to Los Angeles. And she's like, oh, of course she is. Of course she is. But so when we were back in the room, I didn't bring it up. That was the other thing was, one of the reasons I really like staying with other people during these kind of conferences is we can like spitball ideas off of each other. We can learn from each other. If that person's better off or well established, I can learn something from them and maybe they can learn something from me. It's always preferred that way for the person, right? You always want to learn from something else. In this case, I was like, you know what? Even on that last day when everything had been so shitty, I still was trying to help her budget and figure her shit out and how that she could be more successful. Because I do very well, right? I was like, I'm in an X club, which you have to show proof of you doubling or tripling your income to be a part of it. I'm in that. So clearly I know my shit. She, as I'm saying, oh, maybe try this, this, and this. She's like, yeah, I do that. It's like, if you did it, you wouldn't be fucking broke right now. Or are you not broke and you're still just grifting? But that wasn't my point. My point was, with the thing. So she's trying to figure out, she's already has her, I'm like, when does your flight leave tomorrow? She's like, oh, I'm leaving San Francisco at whatever time. And so in the morning time when we were getting ready to leave, and this was, I didn't care how long she was in the bathroom because I had nowhere to be. But she's like, I'm still low-key hoping somebody will respond to my Facebook request of getting a ride down to Los Angeles. I was like, but don't you have a flight that's leaving in like 6 hours? And she's like, well, yeah, but I can get credit and use the flight for something else. And I'm like, of course you can. Mm-hmm. Of course you can. The long grift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to set boundaries.
Well, what do you think? Would you contact corporate? Like, I don't know what I would even say to them.
Probably not.
Or would it just be me bitching?
I think it would just be chalk it up to, this is a life lesson that could improve your life and your potential situation in the future.
Right. And I did take it from a I'm giving back to the community kind of thing. And even though she fucking burned me on it, it could have been worse. And just, I was like, that was my tithing that I put back out into the universe. I won't be doing it again.
Well, you can't let one, like, sour grape, you know, ruin your whole...
No, the next time somebody wants something for fucking free, they can go fuck themselves.
Okay.
You want to pay me a quarter of it? Sure. You want to set up a payment plan? Again, I wouldn't even take it. That's the thing. I knew going into it, I wasn't going to get any of this money. It wasn't actually about the money.
Yeah.
It was the principle of everything else that came along with it. As soon as she asked for my wine, I had plenty of red flags that I chose to ignore. That was the thing that sealed it, and I hadn't even met her in person yet.
Yeah, listen, here's the moral of the story. When people want to give you something for free, a lot of times they're really going to deep down want something in return.
Right.
Like a review on Apple Podcasts.
It sure helps people find people.
Maybe like and subscribe on YouTube.
I mean, you can go to the website, you can purchase some shit.
We are on all the social medias. We have Instagram, we have Facebook,
Pinterest,
we're on TikTok, TikTok even.
You can become a patron for as little as $3 and as much money as you want to give me.
Like our inner circle, including you, Mikkel.
Thanks, Mikkel.
And send us your stories. We know you've got good ones. We want to hear them. Actually, I just realized as I'm saying this, I haven't checked the Gmail in probably 2 weeks. I'm going to check it right now.
We will either tell your story or invite you to be on if that is something you are interested in.
And thank you so much for listening to our podcast. This was a long one, but we hope you enjoyed it.
I hope we all learned something, especially me. Later.